How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
I remember Bill Gothard doing a teaching one time on why Satan attacks the body of Christians. And the answer he gave, I remember parts of it at least, we got an animosity. We got Satan, the rebel, Satan, the adversary of God. And here you are his people. And so his way of getting to God is to get to you. I mean, can't do anything to God. So he focuses at getting at God by getting at God's people. And he does it a number of ways. He afflicts the soul. And he afflicts the body if he can. And if he is able, but he is not, he would enter our spirit. But the greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. But it is given to you and I to look after two things: our souls and our bodies. Now, last Wednesday night, we got sidetracked and we learned four things. We learned to speak to our souls. Spent a lot of time on that. Then we learned to speak to our soul with discretion. And then we learned to speak comfortably to our soul and the souls of others. And we ended with this: take charge of your soul. But I didn't have this scripture up there, and I wanted you not to miss this very important scripture. Look at what Jesus commissions you and I to do. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Most of the problems we have is the intrusion of our soul by others and by, goodness, what we see, what we read, what we hear, and it gets into our soul and damages the soul. God has put you in charge of your soul. That is your mind and your emotions. It's the part of you that interacts with the world. And we must have it in our possession. Now, it's interesting that Jesus himself said to do it in your patience. Because you just don't grab a hold of your soul in 5 seconds or 5 minutes. Possessing your soul requires kicking out of our soul stuff that shouldn't be there and bringing into our souls the stuff that should be there. And that is really an encapsulation of the thoughts from last Wednesday night. And I hope that you didn't miss it. And if you did, get the tape from last Wednesday night, because I thought it was a critical moment. And it is necessary that each of us learn to possess our souls. If you will possess your soul, and the evidence of it will be that you speak to it with discretion, and you speak to it comfortably, you will not be a troubled person. trouble will be on the outside and not on the inside. The trouble seeks to get into our souls, to disturb us. It damages faith. It creates doubt, hostility. It can undermine one's sanity. It can fill you with fear. And that's why we're going to go to the subject of fear in just a moment. Because it damages the soul. And God wants us, He wants our souls in a restful condition. He wants it full of joy. He wants the soul satisfied. And He wants the soul so set free that it is able at any moment and all moments to give off praise to Him. When a soul is in a praising condition, it is where God wants your soul. When it is in a satisfied condition, your soul is where God wants your soul. When your soul is joy-filled, then your soul is where God wants it to be. And when it's at rest, those were the four things we learned about how the condition of our soul should be. So how shall it get there unless you and I possess our souls? Take charge. Command your soul. That's what David did. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Because if you let feelings get into your soul that are not according to the criteria that we learned in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, then you feel trouble. To experience sorrow is one thing, but to let sorrow fill your soul is quite another. To have someone speak ill of you is one thing, but to let their spoken words possess your soul is sure to bring damage. And not everybody is going to be nice to you. How many have learned that? Anybody? Jesus told it to us. You know what Jesus said? He said, if they hate me, what did he say? They're going to hate you also. So people are going to come at you with stuff, but what you got to do is keep it out of your soul. This is why the armor of God is so important. Keep stuff out of your soul. Okay, so we learned this last week, and I just didn't want you to miss this. This is a key scripture, and I should have concluded with it last week, and I didn't. Now, last week we referred to this. I'm going to give you a quick summary. The last week I gave it to you, spun it off the cuff. But what are the factors that affect sickness and disease? And by the way, a couple weeks ago we were on the pH factor, and we have brought a product in. It's available in the Wisdom Shop. It's called a pH buffer, buffer pH. There's literature on it. It is recommended. I'll let you read the recommendations. They're not mine personally. I'm going to buy a bottle myself tonight. We got them for half price. For $15, you get the bottle. It's regular 30-something. Plus, you get a cassette tape, and inside here is some pH test paper. So that you can, this is a booster. What's interesting is the brochure lays out on the page 3, no, it's on page 4 on the back cover here, a whole list of foods and where they fit into the pH scheme of things and the acid scheme of things. And they're all listed here. And that come when you get one of these when you get that. So, or you can just take a look. One, we'd be glad to make you a copy of one. But I think they're designed to go with the product. But they're there in the Wisdom Shop tonight. And so you can avail yourself. Factors affecting sickness and disease. Number one, there are nutritional factors. We mentioned it last week, but here I want to put the scripture in front of you. Nutritional factors. This Psalm 103, by the way, is a very important psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. And it starts a list of the benefits. And many of them are health-related benefits. For example, who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Here's we're talking in conjunction. And He satisfies your mouth with good things, and it's referring to the food you eat. He satisfies your mouth with good things, quote, to eat, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. So God designed His created foods, whole foods, unmanufactured, unprocessed foods, what He designed to renew our youth and turn the clock back. And I'm a poor example in some respects. I was reading once again today. You remember that wisdom comes with two hands. Do you remember that? And her right hand is, anybody know? Length of days, right? And in her other hand is honor and what? Riches, correct. I couldn't remember it. Thank you. So here's wisdom has got three things to offer you, and she brings them in her hand. In her right hand, she gives you length of days. That has to do with health. In the left hand, she has honor and riches. Now here's the deal. If you seek the honor and the riches, you don't get them. They slip out of your fingers. If you seek wisdom, wisdom will provide honor and riches. And so she will also provide length of days, health for your body. Now it's kind of interesting, because when you look at wisdom, if you had a lady here with two hands outstretched, and in this hand, left hand, was honor and riches, and in this hand was health or length of days, which one would you take? Which one's more important? And the way we understand that what's in her right hand is more important than her left hand is by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Did you know that? And in fact, Jesus said to the sheep nations, you are going to sit on my right hand, and to the goat nations on the left. Jesus is seated where? The right hand of the Father. When Jesus was telling us to beware of your eye offends you, which eye did he refer to? Do you remember? It was the right eye. And he said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Interesting. Now, this is no offense against those of you who are left-handed. How many are left-handed here? 1, 2, 3, 4. No offense. You are the exception that proves the rule. But in the main, I think even if you're left-handed, you're going to sit on the right hand of the Lord. But in right hand, wisdom has length of days. The error that I have had is that, you know, I'm an old man. I traveled a long way. I have already been around the sun 60 times. Huh? Am I ever tired? Think about it. How would you like to travel around the sun 60 times? 60 years. And I went for most, if not all, of those years without the wisdom that should have been applied to my length of days. So that's why talking about health, nutritional factors, He satisfies your mouth with good things to eat. He does. They come from God. They don't come from man. Don't let anybody feed you but God. And then there are environmental factors that will affect your health. And that's why God gives us commands and laws and statutes. He says, I want you to keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Now, a couple things here. This all appears here as kind of an important word. And here's the reason that we keep the statutes and the judgments of God, so that the land that you dwell in does not spew you out. And this really, I mean, we're talking, we should have the Department of Agriculture here tonight. Because nothing could be better for the health of Americans than everybody, that we had agricultural regulations. I mean, we have agricultural regulations, they're just not the right ones. Because we had them, we would have food, and the land would not make us sick and put out to us disgusting product. Let me point out a couple of things. You can find that the crops are to be rotated in the field. You don't grow wheat on the same piece of ground every year. The crops are to be rotated. Not done in America. The land is to be rested every 7 years. One out of every 7 years, nothing is to be planted. It's left to be fallow. That's one of the statutes. Human waste is to be buried. Mold is to be dealt with. And I don't know when I'll have time to do this. I probably should. There are about 3 verses in the Bible about mold. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Did you know that? A lot of stuff we're learning now, that's in the book a long years ago. See? And that's why God says that's important that you keep all of my statutes and all my judgments so the land doesn't spew out at you food that's not food. So there are environmental factors that affect your health. And we've got to do something to compensate for this issue. And I don't know if I told you it when we were in I want to talk to John about this. He fell in love with anybody who was a Mennonite or a, what was the other group? Amish. I mean, you can't tell you, there's just something about those people. They have decided to follow God and not man. Now, maybe to the point of ridiculous, but maybe it's we who are off track. You know. They don't drive automobiles, horses and buggies. And they control their towns. They control their fields, their products. And I have to tell you, they don't put up with a lot of the stuff that we've got coming at us. I'm talking about mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I'm talking about socially. You know, isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame? But last week there was a great rebellion. The name of the country skips my mind. A Muslim country demonstrated by the scores of thousands because they started to import Playboy magazine. And the Muslims are up in arms. And they demonstrated so severely that Playboy had to back off and is not allowed to import to their country. Isn't it a shame that that we have got so accommodating to evil? My. Oh, dear folks, possess your soul. Because there's stuff The world, the flesh, and the devil want to deposit in your soul that's damaging to you and your seed after you. Excuse me, a little off the top. Then there are hygiene factors. And these are found, by the way, in Leviticus, and there's quite a number of them, and it would be worth the read. Hygiene is really important to God. And it is because His people followed the statutes and the commands, guess what? They had good hygiene so that none of the diseases came on them that came on the heathens. And so, learning hygiene in your home and practicing it regularly with a discipline is important. And then there are moral factors that affect health. There are moral factors that affect health. All of these affect our health. And I'm not referring here strictly to STDs, although it would include that. But Jesus is pointing out it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles man, but that which just comes out of the mouth can defile your body. In fact, let me go to the scriptures for a moment and show you a really interesting, a really interesting thing. As you know, we have, and please keep this in your prayers, next Tuesday morning is a pastor seminar here with the Iniquity Series, 5 hours. We don't know how many pastors are coming, but we know there's a number of them coming. So from 9 till 2 is the slated time for the seminar, and so nobody has seen me today until I walked in here tonight, and they won't see me tomorrow, and they won't see me Friday because I'm getting ready for the seminar. And I thought that to prepare for the seminar, what I should do this week is forget what I've written and forget what I've said and forget what I've done before and once again read every verse in the Bible that has to do with iniquity. 314 of them. So that's what I've been doing this week. I've been going through the scriptures again on the same subject. And so I've discovered that the book is far too short. And that when I got to the chapter on the consequences of iniquity, I didn't name half of them. So let me tell you about this one. One of the consequences of iniquity is jealousy. And you're going to see how that plays into tonight in the health thing in a minute. Is jealousy. Is caused by iniquity. Now let me take you shortly through the passage. If a man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and this other man lies with her carnally, and it's hidden from the eyes of her husband, he doesn't know about it, and it's kept closed, and she's defiled, and there's no witness against her, and she wasn't caught. That's what this phrase means. Neither she be taken with the man. In other words, she wasn't caught in the act. Now watch this. So here the husband does not know about it. But watch this. But the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he's jealous of his wife. And she be, okay, there's two scenarios here, and she's defiled. Or, if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she is not defiled. In other words, she didn't do any act that was a transgression. Didn't lie with the man. So her innocence or guilt is not relevant here. What's relevant is that the man has jealousy over his wife, even though he doesn't know anything. Now watch here. This is shocking. The man shall bring his wife to the priest, And he's to bring an offering. And tell us what the offering is. He shall pour no oil on it, on the barley meal, nor frankincense, because it's an offering of jealousy. An offering of memorial, bringing iniquity, look at this, bringing iniquity to remembrance. Watch this. You know the difference between iniquity and sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That would be transgression. But even if she has not committed adultery and the man is still jealous, do you know why? Because there was an iniquity that occurred. Even if there was no transgression, she did not lay with the man. There was no sin, there was no transgression, but the husband still has jealousy because there was iniquity. Now let me tell you what that means. And I'm going to teach pastors on Tuesday, and I'm going to, that's why it's exclusive for pastors, because I'm going to say things from the Bible to them that I've never said to the public, but pastors need to know them. And I'm going to spend a lot of time about what iniquity has to do with sensual sin. But what I want you to get here tonight, watch this now. A man can commit iniquity with a woman without a transgression. He can commit an inequality. He can invade her space, for example. In fact, I looked up an interesting thing. I went to the internet this week, and because my wife and I had a discussion, because back in college when she was studying to be a psychologist, which is I'm glad she is, because that's how she's able to live with me and survive, I guess. They learn coping skills, you know. One of the things she learned about was social distance. So I'm looking it up to see, and you know, they actually have scales of judging social distance. And that there is an intimate person, probably a spouse or a family member, that goes 0 to 15 inches. And then there's a very close friend that goes from 15 inches to 3 feet. And then there's the average person at 3 feet to about 7 feet. Then they got all these scales. Watch this now. It is possible for a man to commit iniquity and not a transgression by being too close, touching, speaking the wrong things out of his mouth that are suggestive or even overt. What's occurring is not sin, but it is iniquity. It's made me take a big step back myself and do another take about being over-familiar. Why? Because here's a husband that's done. Remember, there's two scenarios before us in the scriptures. One, this woman gets involved with a man and transgresses the law, commits adultery. But then there's a woman who didn't commit adultery, but her husband's still jealous. And what, you see, iniquity makes people jealous. Oh, let me give you another scripture. I'm really getting off track. I don't want to go any farther, but let me see if I can get closure. I, the Lord thy God, am a, what kind of a God? A jealous God. And what does he do? Visiting. There is a relationship between jealousy and iniquity. What is the relationship of God being jealous to our iniquity? What is our iniquity that causes God to be jealous and says that iniquity is going to be visited upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me? It's simply this. that we belong to Him, and yet we flirt with the world. Are you getting this? You may not do a transgression. Nobody could probably come up and say, you sinned here and you sinned there, you transgressed because the law says you shouldn't do that. But what I have discovered is that this iniquity thing is sort of like, here are the laws and the rules, and if you break them, you sin. But all around in between all the cracks, there's a lot of iniquity goes on. And it is as devastating, and it is as wrong as a transgression. Are you all following me now? So we find out here that this offering that he's to bring to the priest is in remembrance, bringing iniquity to remembrance. Now, how does it apply to what we're talking about here tonight about how does morality affect health? Now, watch there. So let me just tell you, well, and the priest shall bring her near, set her before the Lord, and the priest shall take holy water and the dust off the floor of the tabernacle, and shall put it in the water. And the priest shall set before the woman and uncover the woman's head and put the offering in her hands, which is a jealousy offering. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say to the woman, if no man have lain with thee, if thou have not gone aside in uncleanness, another instead, be thou free from this bitter water that causes the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, if thou be defiled, some man have lain with thee, then the priest shall charge thee, the woman, with an oath of cursing. The priest shall say to the woman, the Lord make thee a curse, and make your thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. Now watch this. Make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, okay, yep, amen, amen. And then the priest shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water. Now watch this. If the woman has been morally pure, guess what happens? Nothing. She drinks the holy water mixed with the dust, and nothing happens to her body. But if she has been immoral, it causes her thigh to rot and her belly to swell. Morality affects health. Hello? Isn't that the case here? And so it is. You know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. If he sow to the flesh, he shall in his flesh reap corruption. So morality is another factor that affects health. Then there are emotional factors that affect health. That's why Scripture says, be careful, look diligently. You don't want to get a root of bitterness. Spring up you and it'll defile you. All right. Now, let me link these two together because now we're at the emotional factors that affect health, and I want to mention seven of them. We've already covered three of them, and I'm not doing so well tonight. Seven fears that affect your health. So the ones we've already learned, I'm only going to get mentioned. Oops. Fear of public shame. It was caused by guilt. We learned that, remember? After Adam sinned, he was afraid. Because he knew his sin was going to find him out. Boy, that's a text we need to preach on, isn't it? Isn't too popular on the front page of in the religious advertising section of the newspaper. Come here, the pastor you're going to preach on, be sure your sin will find you out. That won't gather a crowd. Isn't it a shame that we can only preach on things that are advertisable something wrong with that picture. It is appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. This is a legitimate fear. And we already learned that it damages the bones. We went through all the scriptures. Damages the bones and affects the blood because the blood is made in the bones. And we went through the confession, of confessing and blotting out. Second fear we learned about was the fear of rejection, of being abandoned. And caused ultimately by self-rejection. We went through all that and the medical problems that we associated with it. Heart, nervous disorders, asthma. And then went through the cure. The third fear that we talked on was the fear of persecution and death. Jesus said, fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul and cast into hell. And then we learned that a fear of persecution is really a fear of our ideas being rejected. And then we went to all the the means of recovering from that. So tonight we have four more fears and about 12 minutes to cover them. The fear of hunger and poverty. Let me say, watch this now. You would think that the only people that were afraid of poverty would be those who are only earning $20,000 a year. But you know, people earning millions are afraid of poverty. Fear, hunger, and poverty. So Jesus said, stop worrying about your life. Stop worrying about what you eat or what you shall drink or your body which to put on. Because life is more than food, and the body is more than raiment, than clothing. Look at the fowls of the air. They don't sow any seed in the ground, and they don't harvest any seed that comes out of the ground, and they don't gather stuff into barns. But your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Why take you thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, they don't spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, what's the problem here? There's two things. Look at this. Little faith. Little faith feeds this fear as well as misplaced faith. No man can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one, love the other, or cling to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And the trust in materialism is what feeds the fear of hunger and poverty. We trust in our riches. We're not looking to the supplier who promised you'd never be hungry, never be thirsty, you'd never be without clothes. Never. And the medical problem associated with this fear, according to the scriptures, is a heart condition. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after the things which are coming on the earth. Now, certainly this does include apocalyptic things, but it's for looking after. Hearts failing for fear, for looking after. Fear of hunger and the fear of poverty. And then again, mentioned again, not just misplaced faith, but the second problem is, O ye of little faith. That's why people put so much emphasis on material things. Because we haven't got faith the Lord's going to provide them. And so we go after them ourselves, and it becomes a focus. And that focus robs you of putting your faith properly in the one who promises to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What was the cure? Put God and his righteousness first. Watch this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, notice there, these verses are sequential, and the phrase all these things is referring to what has just been listed. Food to eat, clothing to wear, beverage to drink. So the cure is to put God and what is right first. And it's more important than... You remember what Job said? That his word is more than my necessary meat. My necessary meat. So, that's the cure. Then there's the fear of evil. And that's why Jesus taught us to do something about evil. He taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. In fact, he also gave us in Psalm 23, the great promise of David is, I will fear no evil. Somebody want to tell me what the next phrase is? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so we got the picture of the shepherd with the rod and the staff. The rod to drive off the wolves. You don't have to fear evil. Now that doesn't mean go to places that are evil in the wrong hours of the night, etc. That's not what it's about. Doesn't mean you're indomitable. It means you still need wisdom and discretion. But we fear no evil. And what causes this fear is focusing on what is evil instead of what is good. Focusing on Satan instead of what God is doing. And it is possible to be consumed, if you listen to the news very much, it's possible to get consumed with the evil that's going on in the world. And it will affect your soul. Fear will enter your soul. And whenever you listen to news and you get a bad report, you better be doing it from a foundation that enables you to process what's being told to you in view of what God says about it. That's why he said, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He doesn't, fear has torment, and these torments have medical problems associated with them. So, my wife is better at this than I am. In fact, I have to tell you, if I were to list things she's better at than me, they would be longer, much longer than anything I could dream up that I think I might be better than her at. She has particularly given herself to the study of the end time, prophecy, Book of Revelation, Thessalonians, Daniel, Ezekiel, parts of Isaiah. As a consequence, when she hears the bad news, something happens in her soul, which I have observed. One of two things. Is it okay if I tell this? You don't know what I'm going to say, so. But I'm the head of the house, so. I'm pulling rank right now. She does one of two things. She either turns it off because she's had enough of it, or she will quote a scripture. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign. And I hear that scripture. I can't tell you how many times I hear that scripture. And I hear scriptures from the book of Revelation that I'm not terribly familiar with because I don't study a lot over there. But she knows that He's still in charge. And that keeps the effect of the bad news from bringing fear into your soul. That's why we need to be looking to the skies. You need to be looking beyond that which is visible, beyond the news. Let me tell you something. God is not going to lose. He's going to come and straighten all this stuff out in a moment of time. Scripture says that He shall come and He shall slay with the breath of His coming, the brightness of His coming. Out of His mouth shall come a two-edged sword. He'll smite the nations. He's going to straighten this thing all out. Stop putting your hopes in political parties and political personalities, because the answer, my friend, is in the Lord. And this is what keeps this fear. If you focus on Satan instead of what God is doing, you will have this fear, the fear of evil. You'll be afraid to have children. You'll be afraid to raise children in this world. And it is nasty out there, but you don't need to be afraid of that. And if you focus on the evil instead of focusing on good, then you get the fear of evil. And here's what God says about what we should know about evil. God says, I would have you wise unto that which is good. Excuse me. Now watch this. I want you to know everything there is. I want you really smart. I want you smart about whatever's good. And look at this now. But I want you simple. I only want you to know a few basics about evil, not very much at all. It is important that you, in your possessing and the care of your own soul, make sure that you don't get exposed to a lot of evil. Any kind of evil. Talking about evil reports, evil things going on in the world, and yeah, you got to know, I suppose, what's going on. I have nothing to do with it. End of the story. Keep it simple. But when it has to be doing, it has to do with good, study good. Get smart about what's good. And if you do this, you will not have the fear of evil. So, the cure is to follow God and all His instructions, like the one we just said about concerning evil, keep it simple, and regarding good, get really wise about what's good. And remember, make sure the Lord is your shepherd, because if He is, and you are following His instructions, you need fear no evil. Look what He says. God says, whoever hearkens unto Me shall dwell safely. That's why don't study the newspaper, study your Bible. That's why don't listen to television. Get some Christian teaching on video. You want to look at something that moves instead of listening to it with your ear. Get the good stuff. Whoso hearkens unto Me shall dwell safe. Now look at this. And shall be quiet from the fear of evil. It should not be part of your soul. And you want to keep it out of the souls of your children. Did you get that? Raising your children without fear. cut down the cops and robber stories. The war stories. Get the Bible in their hands and not toy guns. You want to have a thing about guns? Then you be very careful of what they learn about weapons. With a godly perspective, help them to understand defending the nation, etc. But the games that are being played on video, and I have little, in fact, the only exposure I have is looking at the package and reading what it says on it. I've never seen one. I think from a distance I saw somebody with and was weird stuff going on. But the violence and the exposure of our children to violence today, real or imagined, is producing a fear of evil. God wants you healthy. God wants you with a sound mind. He wants you to possess your soul and keep the stuff out of your soul that's going to produce fear, which in turn will affect your health. I have to quit. And we'll get to 6 and 7. Hopefully, next Wednesday night. But, amen. I hope that's been helpful to you tonight. Amen. Good. It's the Lord's Word. Amen. It's the Lord's Word. Praise God. Continuing your quest in health and prevention or cure is really important. So I'll see you on Wednesday night again on the same subject. This Sunday morning, looking forward to it. We've had so much on our souls, and I don't think we're finished, but interesting project coming up. What's going to happen this Sunday, the Lord willing, going to teach on something that will affect your family the rest of 2006. It will affect your family, all of your children, the rest of this year. What we teach this Sunday.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.